like to turn your attention to 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. We didn't have a special on Wednesday night, and I threatened in the middle of the message to break out in song, and that actually never happened if you weren't here. Tonight we don't have a special either, and so it just may happen. No, I just... Glory to God. Well, we'll see what God wants, you know. Glory to God. 1 Samuel 17, very familiar chapter about David and Goliath. I want to make this fresh. If you're wondering, do I have the message for tonight? Don't wonder, I do.
Amen.
Good to see Sister Marquardt in the house of the Lord. Amen. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 32, it says, "And David said to Saul, let no man's hearts fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." You know, his brothers were afraid. The army was afraid. He said, don't worry. Don't let your hearts fail. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. I would have liked to seen that, you know? Who says church can't be fun?
Amen.
You know? And thy servant slew both the lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto him, David, go, and the Lord be with thee. That's such a great story, isn't it? Great story of victory. Do you know why he had confidence? Because he had past victories.
Right.
Amen. The little skirmishes that we have at the beginning of our walk, and all of a sudden something huge. You've got a giant in your life that needs to be killed. And now you say, you know, that isn't a problem. Because, you know, God took care of this, and he took care of that, and he took care of this.
Amen.
You see? I'd ask you to do something for me. I'd like everybody to close their eyes, and then I want you to raise your hand if you have a little bit of trepidation, a little bit of fear in your life because of sickness, finances, problems, relatives, job. We're in church. Just be honest. I've got a little fear of God. And I know that God wants to deliver us from that kind of fear, that we're going to walk out of here tonight with full confidence that the battle is not mine. God's going to take care of this thing right now. I came to church to get something, and I'm going to leave with a peace that passes all understanding. Lord, your people are in your hands. And we know you are well able to deliver us and help us and protect us and keep us, God, and add to whatever we need. We're asking these things in that precious name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Glory to God. You have to clap your hands before you sit down. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. You may be seated. Please keep the screen down if you would. Is it still? Oh, it's not. Could you push that button so the screen goes back down again? All right. Thank you. I have some scripture I want to use as a foundation for what I want to preach tonight. If you go to Isaiah 43, Isaiah chapter 43 and verse number 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. So God has redeemed us. We belong to him, and we're not supposed to fear about any of that. Then go to Isaiah 41 and 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And then Psalms 34 and 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And then one more. John, the 20th chapter, verse number 19. Then we find that the disciples are huddled in this room, all shut up. Brother Moran talked about it tonight. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled in fear of the Jews. They killed our Savior. We didn't think that that would be possible. So they're in fear. They lock themselves in a room because there's a good possibility. The same thing can happen to each of us. Came Jesus and stood in the midst. Didn't say, he opened the door, he walked through the wall, and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Because he knew if there was one thing that they needed some kind of peace. Yeah. I've been serving God for over 40 years, and I recognize there are times that I just need some peace and assurance that God's going to take care of the situation. I said to my wife this week, I said, you know, it's probably every 2 weeks something happens that'll shake my world. And I have to recognize, and I remind God all the time, this is not my church, you know. This is not my responsibility. These people are yours, you know. Yeah. Amen. So the army of Israel saw the giant. They fled from him and were afraid, and the young David, when he saw the giant, said, let no man's heart fail because of the giant. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. So what was the difference? Why were the men of war afraid and the boy David not? Well, David had confidence, faith in God. His faith overruled his fear. And what has to happen is our belief in God or our faith in God, the God that demonstrated he was with us when we spoke in tongues, amen, the God that demonstrated when he heals us, when he delivers us, so many times out of the little things, and all of a sudden something comes up and we all of a sudden think, well, that is just too hard for God. and our faith diminishes. And as soon as the faith diminishes, fear comes in. Oh, I think my mother had cancer. I think my father had heart problems. I think my sister had cancer. And all of a sudden, the devil does a tap dance on our brain and does mental gymnastics and says, oh, the same thing is most likely going to happen to you. And now all of a sudden we become the sad sacks. We walk into church and we don't have the joy because our faith has been diminished. And then fear, who am I talking to tonight? When fear rules, it takes away our faith, and without faith, we can do nothing. But if we just have a little bit of faith. I remember, I've said this before, I remember Brother Rodriguez, who has a great church down in Chicago. He came and preached for us a lot of years ago, and he said, God, you know, I want my ministry to flourish, and I want you to give me great faith. He didn't recognize what he was asking for. And suddenly, his son and his wife got cancer. Now, God healed them. And what happened? His elevated faith elevated his ministry because it wasn't just something he preached from the book. It was something that he realized in his life. And that's why the enemy of our soul wants to instill fear in our lives every chance he gets. Jesus said to his disciples over and over again, fear not. Amen. Those two words are used in the Bible 63 times. Baptism is only 22 times. The word fear in the Greek means to frighten or to be alarmed. To Israel and Joshua were, don't worry about it. God's going to take care of it. Take a look at Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter. Deuteronomy 31 and verse number 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee or forsake thee. Now these are our people who, well, they've been in the wilderness. They aren't filled with the Holy Ghost. And God is not just saying he's going to be with us, but he is in us. He is literally with us all of the time. Have you ever seen a cat scared by a dog? You know, we've had a cat for a while, but no more. I've seen it happen. The hair stands up on the back of them, and their legs stiffen out, and there's this loud screeching sound, and then there's a streak of fur. We had a really bold cat that would come up to the dog that we had, just really defiant. It would come up to the dog face to face and take its paws and go bam, 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 bam. And then take off, knowing that it was pretty fast, you know. Amen. Glory to God. And so I know that's the way it is with cats. Adrenaline floods the bloodstream because the brain sends an alarm to the whole body. Whenever we're really frightened, something happens to our entire body because there's an adrenal gland that sends this substance to our brain and even to our muscles that gives us power. Now, the lion, the king of the beasts, also lives a life of great stress and many alarms. He has oversized adrenal glands. His brain often calls for plenty of adrenaline for long, hard fights with prey. Now, both the scaredy cat and the king of beasts face much stress and alarm in their life. But there is an animal that is quite in contrast to the lion and the scaredy cat. Mm-hmm. It is the crocodile. Most of the time, he lies motionless as an old log in the water. Rarely blinks its eyes, the perfect picture of tranquility. Now, he is one of the ugliest creatures on the face of the earth, bad complexion, bad teeth structure, but he doesn't care about what you think about him. You know? Amen. He doesn't know that someone chews out of him or a purse. He doesn't get afraid of anything. He really doesn't have any enemies and has never shed one crocodile tear over losing a friend. In fact, the truth is, a crocodile never sheds tears because it's sad. It just sheds tears in order to clear out its eyes. And his adrenal glands are minuscule, little bitty, itty adrenal glands. His emotional center has not made any demands on his body at all. He just doesn't get excited about anything. I've seen people like that. I don't want to pastor them. I just know them. Now listen. At the age 25, a lion is old. His eyes are dim, weak and feeble. But at 25, the crocodile is just coming into his prime. Now, the same is true in the human body. The number of alarms sent out to our brain determines the size of our stress glands. And the larger the adrenal gland and thyroid glands, the shorter our life. So if you're a scaredy cat, if you get excited about, oh, the mail didn't come today, or some other dumb thing that you get excited about, all of a sudden, the stress value in your life, in your body, in your brain, in your muscles, because of adrenaline, because I'm afraid, God's designed that. So in emergencies, we have the strength, you see, shorten our lives. Not only are their days shortened, but they are filled with emotional turmoil, and it seems like it's almost impossible to enjoy life, family, God, church, a sunny day. Now, God gave us adrenal and thyroid glands for extra energy in times of emergency, either to fight or to flight. God meant it for emergencies only. However, we can produce the same flow of adrenaline if we imagine dangers in our life. You know, it's a good chance that I'm going to lose my job next week. I have to go in for an exam to the doctor, and I just wonder if they're going to find something. Hello? You know what I'm talking about. Every one of us have gone through that kind of scenario in our lives. Our emotional center will send out the same message to our glands, our heart, our blood pressure. And all of a sudden, we're excited and we don't even know why, but there's some stress, there's some fear within our lives that something is going to happen. Excess and frequently produced hormones will result in physical damage to our bodies. Medical science is aware that these hormones released in the bloodstream as a result of stress can produce fatal effects. Here's what Jesus said in Luke 21 and 26. Men's hearts failing for fear. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And so there will be people who have heart problems and stress problems and organ failures and high blood pressure and perhaps diabetes and all of the other things that we fear. I wonder if cancer comes as a result of over-exercised organs within our bodies, stresses. Something's going to happen here tonight to deliver some people from some of these stresses tonight, because God doesn't want to stress church. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. Worry insults God. So how big is your adrenal gland tonight? Please check, I'll wait. Worried about your health, worried about your wealth, worried about your family, worried about your job. There's a saying, you're worried sick is more than a common expression. Constant worry causes a strain on your glands and your heart that literally make people sick and experience a host of physical disorders. The first words, the very first words that Jesus said to his disciples was, peace be unto you. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, prayer and supplications, that the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your heart and your mind. If anyone had plenty of reason to be justified in fear and worry, it was David. I love to read the Psalms, but most of the times he's begging God, would you take care of these enemies, please? You know? Would you take care of the king that's trying to kill me? You know? He encountered a lion, a bear, a giant, a crazy king. God still loved him, and yet he still faced battles. And our past victories help us overcome the present fears that we have. Amen. One of the greatest assets of serving God is that he will maybe give you a promise that is going to happen in the future. You know God has told you about it, and it hasn't happened, and then something happens in your present, and you don't have to worry about what's happening here because you know that God hasn't fulfilled the promise that he made in your future. You're going to be king, David. Well, don't worry about Saul's javelin. You see? God isn't done with us yet. In a couple of days, I'm going to be the perfect temperature, 72. But God isn't done with me yet. Amen. You see, everyone has a value to God. Amen. And so, you see, David trusted the Lord, and faith repels fear. Amen. I believe God. Amen. I believe God. I believe what his word says. But you don't understand. There will always be somebody who wants to tear down your faith and incorporate fear into your life. I believe in doctors. I go to them whenever it's very, very necessary. But I find that doctors will always give you the worst scenario. And you walk out of the office thinking, I thought I was fine. And I guess it's almost programmed with the doctor, because they don't want to give you the impression everything is fine. They want to give you the worst scenario in order to cover their own practice. Amen. So let's look at a few scriptures. Psalms 27. Psalms 27 and verse number 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? That's David. I have complete trust in my God. Who am I supposed to be afraid of? If you realize, and we talked about it this morning, that God loves me so much in order to sacrifice and go through the agony that he went through on the cross, then why wouldn't he help me in time of need? When the wicked, even mine enemy and my foe, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Hey, listen, don't get me off track. I just want to serve God. I want to go to his house. Amen. Amen. Psalms 91, very familiar. Verse number 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. Night's a bad time, folks. We close our eyes, and now all of a sudden we're alone with our thoughts and our fears. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terrors by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh to thy house, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in some of your ways. Believe it or not, there's going to come a time that we'll be introduced to our own personal angel. He shall give his angel charge over thee. Amen. Psalms 56. Psalms 56 and verse number 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Amen. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrestle my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps. When they wait for my soul, shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people of God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cried unto thee, then shall mine enemy turn back. This I know, for God is for me. God is for you.
Amen.
Amen. You know, there's something about Scripture. I know you can be reassured by your pastor or by a friend, but there's something about knowing God wrote it down. God understands all of my fears. And his remedy is the Word of God. Now, This isn't just a mandate of the pastor or the ministry, but you know what? Whenever we've got a situation in our life that is hard for us to cope with, and especially if it's fear, we need to get this book out. Amen. Use the concordance. Find the scriptures. Read them. Write them down. And all of a sudden, the fear dissipates. You know? Because we're a child of the King. Amen. I know who I am. Amen. 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 You can always count on the Word of God. Psalms 37. And I'm just about to sing. At verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his ways. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, and yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. For he is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell for evermore. Amen. Depart from evil, do good, dwell forevermore. One of the greatest things and the greatest security in living this life is to live this life. Amen. See, when you're living for God the best that you possibly can, then you have confidence in God that he is always going to take care of you. Amen. 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 Now, psychiatrists say that a clear conscience is a premium asset in your life. I, for years, played tennis with a psychiatrist, and we would meet just about every week, and I think I was helping him. Most of their patients were lacking a clear conscience, you see. They had baggage that we're always worried about, something that would chase them down. Amen. Their couches are filled with victims who suffer from extreme inner guilt and fears. A clear conscience is a barricade against all of this rhetoric and illness in your life. So when we come to the house of God and we make peace with God, then all of a sudden we walk out of here with a clear conscience, and now all of a sudden there isn't the fear anymore because I know I'm right with God. And no matter what happens, my steps are ordered by God and he's going to take care of me. Amen. Glory to God. Just a couple more scriptures. If you look at Acts, the 24th chapter, and it looks like I'm running out of time to sing. Acts 24. And verse number 16. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense towards God and toward men. I just want to have a clear conscience with God. Feel guilty about something? Just tell him. Annoyed by somebody? Just make peace with them. You may not be successful, but you can simply say, you know what? Hey, this is no big deal. I don't want anything between us. You see, glory to God. Hebrews 10 and 22. Hebrews 10 and 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. How? Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And then 1 John, the third chapter. First John chapter 3 and verse 21. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. I studied, I did what I was supposed to, and now I feel good about the relationship I have with God. And I don't have any fear about tomorrow or what's going to happen to me, because I know I'm right with God. I remember that first night after being filled with the Holy Ghost. I remember putting my head on a pillow thinking, you know what? I'm right with God right now. Yes. I've said this before. I remember being in my living room after that Sunday night being filled with the Holy Ghost, and a whole group of people came over to the house to celebrate because I was one of those hard cases to get the Holy Ghost. And I thought to myself, I remember the place I was sitting, and it'll always be indelible in my mind, thinking, you know what? If this house was on fire, it wouldn't matter. Somebody ought to call the fire department. Nothing matters to me at this point because I'm right with God. And so I don't know what's going on in your life right now, but there are some people in here that have some trepidation, some fear of the future or what is going to happen in their life. You know what? That is not your problem. Amen. Let me go after that Philistine. I know what God has done in my life. Our last scripture is Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Hebrews 13 and verse number 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee or forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do to me. No big deal. No big deal. Every time we did an addition, there was always something that came against us. And I'm sorry to say this, but there were some sleepless nights of what was going to happen. And God always put it together. God always delivered, you know, just like he said. A couple of days ago, we had to meet with the bank for a renewal on our mortgage, and there were some problems, and, you know, I could get all uptight about it, even though you can sleep. That's not my problem. That's God's. I remind him all the time, this is not my church, God. This is your church. Hallelujah. I'm just the under-shepherd. I just try the best that I can, you know, deliver what I can. Amen. But there's some people here tonight that need to be delivered from some fear in their life. It may be the fear of sickness. It may be the fear of finances or something else. It's real. It's real. And God saying, peace be unto you. Yes. 63 times, fear not. Why? Because we're a fearful people. Now, I handle all of the bills in my house. Not that I'm better at it. My wife is probably much better at it. She's more precise in those things. But she wasn't designed to handle it. And I'll tell you why. She's a nester, and I'm a hunter. That's the roles that women and men have. And she wants security all the time. She's concerned about the security. And the church is female, if you will. And we're saying to God, are you sure you're going to be there for me? Are you sure we're going to have enough money for the end of the month? Are you sure that you're going to take care of my sickness, God? God's saying, hey, didn't I tell you? Amen. What did I say? Amen. Are you second guessing me again? David, you're a man after my own heart. You know why? Because you're going to direct your family to obey all my commandments. And you're going to believe when everybody else is running away, you're going to run to the problem. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. I'm going to get my God to take care of it. Amen. Amen. Walk out of that doctor's office and say, I'm going to get my God to take care of that. You don't have the answers, but my God has it. Yeah. And I literally can say I was young and now I am old. And yet, I have not seen God forsake me. I haven't had the baked bread. I didn't have to worry about the mortgage. I didn't have to worry about food. I didn't have to worry about gas in my car. But there's one thing I worried about. I want to live for God the best that I can. And that is his problem, not my problem. Amen. So would you stand with me tonight? I want you to be honest tonight. I know that God wants to take care of some situations here tonight. I know that. But if you'll just stay where you're at, and you'll not admit it, and you'll not go to God and ask him for help, then you'll walk out of here the same as when you came. But if you really want to be delivered from the trepidation and the fear that you have for something that's going on in your life, and walk out of here with a clear conscience and feel the joy of the Lord and know that God is confident in taking care of your situation, then I believe that all you have to do is come up and deliver what your fear is to God, and he will take it from you. Yes. Or you can just stay in your pew and deal with it on your own. But that would be foolish. God help us, Lord. God, we ask you, God, to give us a freedom from some of the fears that we have. As foolish as they are, God, Lord, you're the one who orders our steps. And God, we ask, Lord, that you touch every individual and pull the fear out of our minds and our hearts, oh God, that we have a joy, a restoration, oh God, in our relationship with you. God, that as we walk out of this building tonight, it will not follow us. Tomorrow is going to be a different day. Free from fear and anxiety, oh God, that you truly are in charge of all of our battles, God. Touch us. Bless us, oh God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah.